You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Even though the Miami Marlins not part of the 2017 postseason party, no shortage of exciting moments for the Fish during the 2017 regular season. And joining us now to break it all down on this 12th day of October, Mr. Joe Frisaro, our Marlins beat reporter for MLB.com. Joey, thank you for the time. And what we're doing today is breaking down the top 10 lists that you and your colleagues submitted to MLB.com for the top moments of your team's season. And plenty of those for the Marlins in 2017. A lot involving Giancarlo Stanton and his chase towards 60 home runs, which came up just a little bit short. Of course, the only no-hitter in baseball this year thrown by journeyman Edinson Volquez. That was back on June 3rd against the Diamondbacks, no less, at Marlins Park. We saw some big walk-off wins. We saw D. Gordon swipe 50 bases this year. So a lot to choose from, Joe, but I got to think that Giancarlo is going to be a big part of what stands out to you from the 2017 season. So have at it.
Yeah, I mean, without question, it was the season of Stanton, you know, down here in Miami. And for the most part, a good part of the season for Major League Baseball. You know, what he did, you know, right before the All-Star break in July, carrying it to the end of August, you know, simply historical. And then he was knocking on the door of 60, finishing with 59. And, you know, he got the 58-59 the same game, which was, what, the second or third to last game of the year, building up the drama for hopefully, you know, for to see if he could hit that 60 plateau. But what a season, Matt. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, everyone knew the power was there. They, you know, there's been some question about how much of an all-around player and you know, and obviously in recent years, health. You know, he hadn't, you know, played, you know, more than 120, 130 games in a long time. And everyone kind of said, if Giancarlo Stanton stays on the field the whole year injury-free, what can happen? Well, we saw what could happen. At age 27 for him in his seventh you know, full season, eighth season in the big leagues, you know, this guy did something very historical. The two home runs, you know, in his last game, I think the last one was almost 119 miles an hour off the bat, about 460, just, you know, completely crushed. He did it in dramatic, you know, fashion. And then, you know, he became the first Marlin in history ever to lead the majors in home runs and RBIs. And, you know, I think he's the front runner for the National League MVP award. And we'll see how that pans out. No Marlins ever won the MVP. Stanton has as good a shot as anybody on that list, you know, in a very loaded National League. But Stanton clearly was the story of the season and all those historical home runs along the way. And it was really fun to watch. And, you know, he kind of stayed locked in and saw what he can do. And we saw it in a big way.
I'm always curious with guys when they're chasing these records and these milestones and they're getting, you know, front page attention and media almost on a daily basis. How did he kind of handle all of that, you know, in the clubhouse and you know, before games and after games with the media? Because as good as he's been and as much attention as he's gotten, it's never been to this level. So I got to think that for some guys, it's a shock to the system. Maybe other guys handle it in stride. How did he kind of handle this as again, it seemed like, even though, you know, playing for a team that was clearly, you know, not going to be in the postseason, he was headline news every single day, and he was trumping what playoff contending teams were doing, you know, most nights. So again, in your dealings with him, how did he kind of, you know, handle all this on a daily basis?
Matt, I think that's a great question, and he handled it like a true champion. It probably was his demeanor through this. He had fun through it. He embraced it. He recognized he was making history, yet, you know, he kind of, you know, if it meant, you know, we had to wait for him post-game because he had to do his post-game, you know, cool-downs and the stuff he does to stay on the field every day, we waited. You know, he kind of learned to say no when he had to say no. But, you know, for the most part, he was there. He, you know, he spoke about it. You know, it got to the point when he got to about 40, after every home run, we had a tough stint, win or lose, no matter how the game went. And became news because he shattered the franchise record set by Gary Sheffield, 42 in 1996. He just blew that away in early August. And, you know, no one had touched that record for over, 21 years. And he blew by that, dealt with it. That was always respectful to the players on the list. I think he kind of, you know, in his own little way was motivated by it. I think Aaron Judge, in his own sort of way, with the way he got out in the first half, and everyone's like, oh, there's a heavyweight champion home run hitter who's more powerful than Stanton. I think he kind of got to Stanton to say, you know what, I'm still around. And so I think there were other things that came into play with his remarkable season. But, you know, part of it was the fact that he didn't shy away from it. He didn't, you know, he made it clear. He thought 62 was a real magical number. He was a little vague on why. You know, he kind of noted, you know, the PED use, you know, the Bond, Sosa, McGuire era, and also noted that the game wasn't integrated when Ruth was doing it. It was barely integrated only a decade or so when Maris got to 61. So he kind of treaded on some historical stuff and got his feelings out there on that. And I think it was one of the more – it salvaged the season. As you noted, the Marlins kind of slipped out of it early. And remarkably, with Stanton's run, he got him three over going into at the end of August and got him like four or five games out in the second wild card. So he literally carried the team back to make them relevant, as well as was, you know, putting Major League Baseball, you know, in the spotlight in the entire sports world.
Yeah, that's a great point. And Joe, I've got to think too that, you know, when you look at this franchise 1 year ago, still reeling from that unspeakable tragedy, the passing of Jose Fernandez, that I got to think that, you know, anytime a player has a season, the type of season that Giancarlo Stanton had, it's magical. But to do it when he did it, you know, just following one season after that tragic death of a guy that was considered the face of this franchise, I think that the timing in that regard could not have been better.
Yeah, I mean, going into this year, it was going to be, you know, play like Jose, you know, type of theme. They talked about in spring training about guys just kind of relaxing and, you know, having fun, or at least, you know, visibly looking like they're having fun. Now, it was easy for Jose to do it because he was so talented. He could play and laugh and kind of interact with opposing hitters because he could strike them out at will. So, you know, a lot of players kind of brought that to the forefront. Yeah, it was easy for him to play that way. You know, these other guys were fighting every day to sustain the big leagues. But yeah, you know, there was that undercurrent and that theme. I mean, Jose's locker is preserved in the clubhouse there, so the players passed that by. And, you know, the season didn't go as collectively as they had hoped, but the presence was there. And, you know, Stanton was very close with Jose, as was everybody on the team. It moved. I mean, I also think, you know, if we take it back to the day after, you know, Jose's passing and when they played the Mets in the D. Gordon game, it was Stanton at the mound, you know, tears flowing, huddling around the team. I think that's when he kind of really became the leader of this team, because he spoke up and he was always kind of the last guy to speak up. So maybe a carryover, maybe Stanton was basically becoming what he was supposed to be, which is, you know, not just the face of the Miami Marlins, but one of the prominent faces in Major League Baseball. And he kind of ran with that all year. And Matt, I can't go, I'd be remiss to not note, you know, the All-Star game was here in Miami. And Stanton, you know, was the poster boy for the All-Star game, and then he willingly did it. And in the time in these last few years, as you know, a lot of superstars, you know, opt out of the home run derby because of whatever reason. It might affect the swing. You know, they don't want to mess things up. Stanton embraced the home run derby. And he, you know, I think what he did, and obviously Judge won it, but the derby, you know, he kind of moved that derby, you know, a must that you're hearing now more and more of the superstars saying, hey, you know what, maybe I will be in the home run derby. So Stanton did a lot for baseball, clearly a lot for the Marlins. And, just a remarkable year. And I've kind of written it, and they'll say it now in the podcast, probably had the single, in terms of individual performance in the season, ever by a Miami Marlin or Florida Marlin. And there have been some really good players here in the list that includes Miguel Cabrera, Hanley Ramirez being the batting champ, some of the stuff in the 90s with Sheffield and their World Series of 97-03. Stanton's individual performance, to me, tops everything that has ever happened in the history of this franchise.
I agree, and I think that for as competitive as it's going to be for the NL MVP race, you've got guys like Votto and Goldschmidt, Blackman, Arenado. I still think that Giancarlo is the front runner, and I think he's very deserving of that accolade. We'll see if the voters agree as the offseason approaches following the World Series. And, Joe, in the time we have left, looking at the other moments on this list, for my money, in terms of the most shocking, no disrespect to Edinson Volquez, who's had a solid major league career, but if you were to say to somebody, when the season began that one guy is going to throw a no-hitter in 2017. He's not the guy you're picking. So to see him do it was pretty special.
Oh, no question. I mean, they had gone, about 500 games without even a complete game, the Marlins, as a staff. And on June 3rd, which was the anniversary of, two or three-year anniversary of the last, complete game by a Marlin, he throws the only no-hitter. And as you know, the improbable guy throwing the no-hitter, and, just knowing Eddie this year, very deserving of this for all this man has been through personally. I mean, keep this perspective, Matt. He took the mound that day in the morning. It was a Saturday. But in the morning, I think he put on Instagram a photo of he and Yordano Ventura, his former teammate in Kansas City. Obviously the tragic passing of Yordano in the offseason. That was Yordano's birthday.
Wow.
And he tweeted out, and on the first play of the game, he has a collision at first base on a flip and collides with, I can't remember if it might have been Pollock or whatever, to start the game out. He's limping around. First, you wonder if he's coming out of the game after one batter, and then he goes out and throws a no-hitter, including after they made it was 1-0 at the time, and then in the eighth, I think the Marlins added on the two runs to give him a little more breathing room. He comes out for the night, strikes out the side. So it was, a guy who's dealt with, obviously in the World Series here a couple of years ago with the Royals, his dad passed away and he pitched with a heavy heart and won there. Also in the offseason, his brother, had passed away. This man has dealt with a lot of adversity, and every day he came to work, always a smile, always a perspective. He just kind of brings a great teammate, takes the ball, whenever he can. The shame of it is his season ended in Tommy John surgery, and it puts his 18th season in jeopardy. But Edison Volquez, that day, very magical moment. And, it kind of does get glossed over because, we move fast in this fight, and the sport doesn't wait for anyone. And we have the playoffs going on. There's some really good stuff going on. But Edison Volquez's accomplishment against one of the better teams in the National League, a playoff team, and doesn't allow a hit to them, and really not even many hard hit balls, from what I recall. Truly a moment to cherish in Marlins history and for the baseball season.
No question, and as you said, to do it on the birthday of the late Yordano Ventura, simply amazing. And we saw a lot of guys in 2017 taking no hit bids into the eighth and ninth innings; they couldn't get the job done. A lot of pressure in those late innings when everybody in the world knows what you're trying to do. Volquez did it when the other guys could not, so hats off to him. The only no-hitter in the entire 2017 season off the right arm of Edinson Volquez. A good place to wrap this one up. Joe Fusaro, our thanks to you. We will do it again soon. We thank you for the time. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Miami Marlins.